And, you know, that obviously sparks off issues for our meditation and meditation teaching. Quite big issues, because I haven't been the only one doing this in recent years. There's been seemingly quite a revolution, as dozens, scores, in fact I'd say hundreds of order members have been going through some kind of similar process on some level or other. Order members realizing that they no longer want to be self-sufficient, that they no longer want to go it alone, that they don't want to rely solely on the limited resources of the current order, that they want to deepen those resources by getting more experienced advice in the field of meditation. Also, that they want to explore other kinds of practice and experience other teachers' perspective. Now, I realise that there are quite a few order members who are not exploring like this, and who perhaps view all this spiritual promiscuity with alarm. Before we all polarise into camps over this issue, let me try to attempt to give some perspective. At this stage, I think we need to step back from things and appreciate who we really are. First off, I think it's been perfectly reasonable for us, as for any Buddhist movement, to run a tight ship. I think we do need to draw lines in the sand somewhere. That's certainly what Bhante did when he was getting things going in the 70s and the 80s. When all your people are new, and in training, you don't encourage them to try some kind of different style whenever they feel like it. And it's the same universally. I mean, no one encourages their committed students to shop around. Once someone has made a certain commitment, it doesn't make sense to stop and try other things all the time. But times have changed, and nowadays there are a lot of people who may not be in training, or they may have done that training, perhaps they did it 20 years ago. And even our regulars these days include very experienced and respectable practitioners who are serious about spiritual life but don't associate it with ordination. And they may well be interested in other teachers and other perspectives, like any experienced practitioner might. Just like an order member, in fact. The part of the Sangha for whom it is probably not useful to explore non-FWBO Buddhist teachings are those who are in training for ordination or who have been ordained in recent years. There's going to be a time when you want to focus on our tradition pretty exclusively. I would imagine for a lot of people that's a 10 or 20 year period. Certainly, I would imagine most order members wouldn't want to explore other traditions in their first 10 years. I mean, I might be wrong, but that's what I imagine. I don't see any particular need, actually, even after that, if they don't want to. But there are advantages. For example, it's good in itself to make friends with other Buddhists. Other Buddhists are our friends. Believe it or not. Friendship is good for them as well as us. There's a real Western Buddhism now that's emerging globally. It isn't just us. Did you know? I mean, we can no longer be so naive as to think, as we did years ago, that we are Western Buddhism. We have a lot to contribute now to an emerging global Western Buddhism. I know that other groups are aware of us and admire many things we do, and we have much to learn from their experience as well. Many groups have been through similar problems to ours, very similar problems. Different groups have worked in different ways and sometimes learned different things which can benefit us. So nowadays, I think some of the walls seem to be coming down between Buddhist groups. I think we should be part of that. Perhaps the main advantage of this kind of networking, though, is what some of us can learn personally. I think I'm probably talking now about quite senior order members, but there are a lot of senior order members. I think they represent an important resource. There still seems to be a tendency to praise the naive freshness of the newly ordained and to pour scorn on the jaded antics of old lags from the 80s and 90s. But that doesn't seem healthy, does it? I mean, what on earth is that all about? I suspect it's another inherited pattern, and possibly the most polarising one of all, because our experienced people are so precious. It's only their practice that can deepen the Western Buddhist order, Dharma, I feel. And I've been wondering if, as an order, we yet have sufficient experience of the process of insight to ensure spiritual authenticity into the future. That question is really the nub of what I'm saying, for we haven't had much personal guidance in that most crucial area. It's not that we all need to find an outside teacher who can give us that. I do also believe that we can train ourselves, for in a sense, that's the only way to train, in a sense. But some will find another teacher useful, and I think that can only be good if they can find someone suitable. One has to issue a warning here. Other traditions may have very different, and also subtly different, views and attitudes towards things like sadhana. It takes experience to be able to filter what is said. If we don't understand the way they are thinking, we can easily get confused and discouraged. I think that's important. And I mean, Bhante has in fact trained us in this to some extent. And if you can understand, you can relate to them and make a fruitful connection.